My dear friends in Christ, we have entered into these 40 days of the holy season of Lent. And the number 40 is very significant, and it appears very often throughout Holy Scripture. We see 40 appear when we have the Israelites, after they were relieved and after they were able to escape from their captivity in Egypt. We know that the chosen people wandered in the desert for 40 years. We know that when Noah was at the time of Noah, that Almighty God was very displeased with mankind, and that Almighty God commanded Noah to build an ark. And we know that God, Almighty God, punished the world on account of their sins. And we know that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. No living creature was saved, except that which was upon the ark. We see 40 again at the time of Jonah, the prophet. We know that Almighty God was displeased with the city of Nineveh, and he told Jonah to go and tell the Ninevites that he was going to go destroy their city. So it is that Jonah went after trying to run away from doing the will of God, that he went and he told the Ninevites that Almighty God was displeased and that he was going to destroy their city. And what did the Ninevites do? They put on sackcloth and ashes, and they fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, doing penance for their sins. And we know that Almighty God was very pleased with the penance, and he spared the Ninevites on account of them doing that penance. We also see the number 40 show up in the life of Elias and Moses in the Old Testament. Elias was a prophet, and we can say this particular instance in his life where he was to have a showdown. And it is that it was on Mount Carmel that this was to take place. But at that time, there was the prophets of the false god, Baal. And Elias was striving to convert the pagans to the true God, to the true religion. And so it is that he put them to a test. And he wanted to prove that his God was the true God, the God of Abraham and of the prophets of old. So it is that he had two altars set up. One was to the false god Baal, and the other one was for the true God. And they were to put two bulls upon these altars. And he let them go first. He said, okay, we have all the time that you need. Go ahead and pray to your God, to Baal. And if your God is the true God, then fire will come down from heaven and consume the sacrifice. So it is that the false prophets of this false God began to chant and began to pray and began to beseech their false God to consume the sacrifice, the Holocaust. And they chanted and prayed from morning until noon, and nothing happened. And they started to shout and to dance around their altar, and yet nothing. And Elias said, okay, maybe your God is asleep. Maybe you should get louder. Maybe you should maybe he's asleep and he can't hear you. And like I said, they began to chant and pray all the louder. And this went on for a while, and then they began to slash themselves. And yet nothing happened. And then Elias said, okay, I've given you plenty of time, my turn. So what did he do? He had them build a trench around his altar. And he had them bring all these jugs of water. And they drenched the bowl and the altar with water, so much so that it surrounded and went into the trench, and everything was consumed in water. And Elias said, okay, my turn. And he went and he prayed to the true God, and you know that as we read in Scripture, that fire came down from heaven and consumed the Holocaust and consumed the sacrifice of Elias the prophet. Now, Elias had those false prophets put to death on the spot, because the people who were witnessing this saw this, and they were very much taken by this, that they turned upon the false prophets and put them to death. So now the queen of that time, Queen Jezebel, heard of what Elias had done. So she sent a message to Elias and told him that he was a dead man, because he killed her prophets, her ministers, that she was going after him. So Elias fled for his life. And it is that after having fled for a day, he was exhausted, and he sat down by a juniper tree, and he pretty much told God, "Take me now. I can't continue doing this. I can't live as a fugitive." And he fell into a deep sleep. And it is written in Scripture that Elias was woken up by an angel. And the angel told him to eat. He gave him some food and said, "You have a long journey ahead of you." And so Elias ate of the food that was provided by the angel. And it was by the strength of this food that he was able to travel for 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, if I'm not mistaken, where God had a special mission to give to him. Now we look at Moses. We know Moses was the one who led the chosen people out of Egypt. And when Moses was to receive the Ten Commandments, God asked him to come apart into the mountain. And it was there that he prayed for 40 days and 40 nights before he received the Ten Commandments. So we see the number 40 show up often in the Old Testament. Now, we go to the New Testament and we see the number 40 in the life of our Divine Lord. As we read in Scripture today, that he went into a mountain and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And we know that at the end of this time, he was very much weakened by his 40-day fast. And the devil came and tempted our Lord Jesus Christ. Now for us, this should be an inspiration and an encouragement. Because our Lord was like unto us in everything except for sin. And our Lord himself submitted himself to be tempted. And that is to give us an encouragement in time of temptation. And when we think about temptation, temptation is not a sin in and of itself. St. Augustine puts it like this. St. Augustine says that the devil is like a barking dog who's chained up. And whenever we're tempted, it's like the devil is barking at us. And the devil can't hurt us unless we draw near to him because he's chained up. And if we go towards that barking, and we're going to get bit, and we're going to fall into sin. So that is how we should look at temptation. The temptation is not wrong. It's like the devil was barking at us. And unless we go towards that temptation, and accept that temptation, then yes, we'll get bit, and we'll fall into sin. But temptation gives us an opportunity to become closer to Almighty God. Temptation should be used as stepping stones towards God. They actually help us to become stronger in our spiritual lives. They help us to become more fervent and devout. Because every temptation that is overcome is a victory in the eyes of Almighty God. And we read in the Old Testament how Job tells us the life of man is a continual warfare. So we should be expecting the struggle in our life, that we have this fallen human nature that we have to contend with. We have the enemies of our soul, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so it is that we have to fight, we have to struggle, and the life of man is a continual warfare. But we also read in Scripture that our Lord promises to us that he will give us all the graces necessary to overcome temptation. I think of the Gospel we read, or the Epistle, a couple of Sundays ago, where St. Paul the Apostle was telling us about all the things that he was undergoing. All the sleepless nights, the shipwrecks, the scourgings, etc. And very beautifully he tells us that he received visions from our Lord, but then how he was tempted, how he received a thorn in the flesh, a buffet of Satan. And three times he asked Almighty God to take this temptation away from him. And what did our Divine Lord tell him? What did Almighty God tell him? "My grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness." And you think about that for a moment. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness." And I always thought to myself, well, isn't that a contradiction? How can strength be made perfect in weakness? And it is precisely what we're striving to put forth today, is that temptation, yes, we can consider that a weakness because of our fallen human nature, but whenever we overcome those temptations, we're made stronger. So strength is made perfect in weakness, and my grace is sufficient for thee. So as we think about and meditate upon that, That is very encouraging because God will never permit us to be tempted beyond our strength. He will always give us His grace to overcome these temptations. And because we were found acceptable to Almighty God, it was necessary that temptation should prove you, as we read in Scripture. So these things, like I said, should help us to be encouraged. Because very often, when we find ourselves sorely tempted, we can get discouraged. We can think to ourselves, boy, it's just one thing after another. The more I pray, the more I get tempted. And that can very well be the case, that the devil is very unhappy with our efforts. So he's willing to work on us all the more. And we shouldn't be surprised if that is the case. And our Lord Himself submitted Himself to being tempted to encourage us in our own struggles. So on this Sunday, as we reflect upon this, we have entered into this holy season of Lent, these 40 days of prayer, of fasting, of penance. And this is a time where God gives us a lot of special graces, and we should be very disposed to receive those graces, to let our hearts be open to the grace of God by that extra prayer, that extra penance, to be very determined to overcome our fallen human nature with the grace of Almighty God. And that is where we have to make sure that we're going frequenting the sacraments, that we're going to confession frequently, assisting at the Holy Sacrifice and the Mass as often as possible, going to Holy Communion as often as we can. These are the ways and the means by which we're going to be strengthened to fight those temptations and to be able to grow in our love for Almighty God. So as this first Sunday of Lent, I want to encourage all of us here to have our mind focused on what's most important, to have our minds focused on Christ, on His sacred passion, and to remember that God's grace is sufficient for us, and that with every temptation, He will give us a way out. And because we were found worthy, it was necessary that temptation should prove us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.